members, let us start our meeting. We're running a little late and our day is too short. We've got quite a number of organizations that are going to be addressing us today. Firstly, I would like to welcome all honorable members back from a long period of absence in Parliament. And indeed, we had a very successful World Cup that was hosted by the country. And we've been congratulated by everybody throughout the world. Immediately after that, we then had to undertake oversight tours, where we went as this committee to Namakwanet. We were hoping that we would cover the entirety of Northern Cape, but very little did we know how vast the province is geographically, and as a result, we were limited only to Namakwanet, which is quite a big area in itself, and we've covered quite a big ground. But before we open our meeting officially, I would like us to just do a round of introduction of who is here, so that as and when people get an opportunity to speak, they then say we can be able to have a direct reference to the person who will be talking. My name is Fred Gona. Next to me is Ms. Nolutando, who is the committee secretary. I will say something about this, the situation when we open the meeting. And I'll start from the honorable member here. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Rose Sontok. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Frida Novula Matibela, member of this committee.
Jali Kwipe, member of this committee.
Nombuise Longele, member of this committee.
Good morning, Mare, member of this portfolio committee.
Let's continue this side. Over to you, sir.
My name is Mketwa Mkiza. I'm an acting unit manager responsible for secretariat support to this committee.
My name is Said Kwaza. I'm from the Parliamentary Communication Services.
The media also must, pronounce its presence.
Okay, thank you, Chair. My name is Thabo Mokone from SABC News.
Kaifas Khosana from Sunday Times.
At the back there.
My name's Kirsten Sully from PMG, it's Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
This is not working.
Sorry. Kwaku Mokate, I'm with the ANC Research Unit on Economic Affairs.
With my immediate left here, Madame.
morning. I'm Ketiwe McLean Maseko, CEO of Alexco.
Good morning. My name is Wilma Son. I'm an acting mine manager at Alexco.
Good morning. My name is Martin Banza. I'm the manager at Alexco.
Good morning. My name is Bernard Lartigan. I'm acting CFO of Alexco.
Over to you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Gavin Creighton. I'm here from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning. I'm Daniel Fonanepa from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning. My name is George Nicolai. I'm from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Morning, Wayne Cook, Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning, Joseph Clausen from the EAC.
Good morning, I'm A.B. Marmer from the National Union of Mineworkers.
Good
morning, I'm Yolisan Konto, member of the SAWIMA in the Western Cape.
Good morning, everybody. Rona Makashura, I'm the member of SAWIMA in the Western Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandiswa Stokwe. I'm representing South African Women in Mining Association. I'm the chairperson of the Western Cape. Thank you. I've also, I've got national two chairpersons. They are on their way. They are coming from the national office in Gauteng. This is Malangini and this is Alice Patudi. They are the chairpersons.
Good morning. My name is Sam Madiwana from DP.
Madam.
Morning. My name is Ayana Boston, a committee assistant.
Thank you. The fact that you've got a camera there, we will also give you an opportunity to
Bond control, Bond control,
ABC. Thank you very much. You all welcome, including media, who you thought that you are nobody but just the media. You are both welcome, and you are part of the democratic strategy in the country, and definitely you are part of us. Honourable members, I'm not sure if Alex Coe is now ready. Are your copies being copies in circulation? All right. I think that let's allow the two ladies to come in and introduce themselves. We would go straight into the program because we, as I indicated, we have very little time at our disposal. After the three presenters have presented, we will deal with other matters in-house that we were supposed to be dealing with, you know, just before we started. But let's welcome the two ladies who have just joined us. And whilst you are settling yourself, Madam, please press the button in front of you and introduce yourself so that you are part of us. There's a button just on this frame. Yeah. Can somebody please assist there?
Good morning. My name is Noluthando Langeni. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of South African Women in Mining Investment Holdings. Our office is based in the Chamber of Mines in Johannesburg.
Good morning. My name is Alice Patudi, National Chairperson of South African Women in Mining Association. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are most welcome. Your delegation here has indicated that you are on your way. Honorable members, as I've indicated that we are going to be listening to Alex Cook. We are continuing with the process that we have started before we went to research in terms of sourcing the views of the public on the possibilities of the establishment of the state-owned mining company. In the previous occasions, we've listened to various people where they gave us their views, and this time around, we'll be listening to Alexco and the other organizations that have introduced themselves. And Alexco, most importantly, is a state-owned entity which is involved in mining. And as a result, it would be important and interesting for us to hear their views and to learn and understand their operations so that we can then take their views when we consider the entirety of the presentations that have been made. But I must just say that whilst I had indicated that we have been away doing the oversight, I would want to express my sincere gratitude and thanks to honorable members who undertook the recent oversight talk to Namakwaland and to Johannesburg. Namakwaland in the main was the most difficult one because of the vastness of the area, and it had taken a toll out of members. We would wake up in the early hours and go to bed very late. That had included driving long distances in between, you know, the areas that we were visiting. And I must say thank you very much. You demonstrated your commitment in wanting to understand the operations in the mining in the country and their impact to the communities where mining is taking place. And I must say that once you are not discussing that report, that's a very quick and very clear mark that this talk has painted more picture, clearer to us, that the process that we have embarked upon of looking at a direct intervention by the state in the mining is basically more necessary now than ever before. Because our experience of this oversight is that we have seen the worldwide known inequality in South Africa in existence, where you had mining, where the riches of the country are being dug, and on the other hand, you have communities who reside in close proximity to those mines, trapped in poverty. And in this instant, in abject poverty. We visited no less than four communities. We interacted with them directly, and what we have seen, what we have experienced, what we have heard, is clear to us that indeed the mineral wealth in this country is not equitably shared. It doesn't benefit the majority of the residents of this country. And we must remember this is a God-given endowment to the nation, so that the nation is able to survive over these mineral riches. But what we have seen so far in Namakwaland, which does not cover the entirety of the Northern Cape, is a clear indication to us that indeed we need to be more clear in the direction that we are charting. If that is what we are going to see countrywide, as we are going to be undertaking other study tours to go and test the impact of mining to communities across the country. If the picture we have seen in Namakwaland in Northern Cape is what we are going to be confronted with in the country, therefore it means we must move with higher speed in terms of ensuring that there is a decisive intervention by the state on behalf of the poor and marginalized. So we need to make that point very clear. Yes, we are going to discuss the report as it is being prepared by ourselves, but I think we needed to make that remark to say that our resolve is more strengthened by what we have seen obtaining in Namaqualand. And therefore, I think we will also, with that understanding, engage Alex Koh in terms of what is it that they're going to present to us. So with those few remarks, we are, as you have heard us, we are in the process of sourcing the views in terms of the need for the country to intervene in the redistribution of mineral wealth, and that we're looking at the establishment of a state-owned mining company. Let's hear your views on the matter. Let's understand who are you as Alex Koh in terms of your operations, and what contribution have you made since your existence in alleviating the plight of the people, particularly that we have seen in Namaqualand, where you are operating from. But then tell us what is it that you were able to do. Thank you. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great honour for me to present to yourselves, and I have had the opportunity of meeting some of the members during their site visit, which was a very, 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 very useful one, I think, in terms of information and input from the members. And just to, before I actually start my presentation, I would like to introduce my team. They have been introduced individually, but I have Vian, the acting mine manager, Mike, the mine engineer and acting mine manager, and Berno, our acting CFO. They were also part of the team during the visit from the portfolio committee. And I think I'm going to go into a little bit of background on Alex Koh and some of the challenges and some of the successes we've had. But I think it goes without saying that it's been very obvious from the visit that the committee made out there just what a huge impact mining has on the surrounding communities. And I will also invite my team who have presentations on detailed areas, if necessary, to come in and share some more information with us. I'd just like to cover the following. Alex Koh's mining concessions, the PSJV, which is the pooling and sharing joint venture, and a brief operational overview, a financial overview of Alex Koh, the carats and revenues received for the year, and the decline in production due to the declining sea days. I'd also like to touch on the township methods that Alex Koh is looking at in order to improve marine operations and township establishment process, health and safety, and the update on the execution of the mining rights. I'd also like to look at the financial resource status, financial figures for the year, health and safety performance, reduced mining on land, and decline in sea days. Sorry, I apologize. I think that the presentation you are following is not exactly the one that's up on the screen. If you'll excuse me, we'll just try and sort that out.
take your time in sorting yourselves out, whilst we, so that we don't put you under duress. Let's deal with one or two other matters. Honourable members, we have got two apologies. From who and who?
Mr. Magagula and Mr. Lucas.
Honourable Magagula and Honourable Lucas. But also we have a correspondence here. You will indicate to me when you're ready. Are you ready now? Oh, okay. That was quick. Okay, let's get back.
My apologies. I had a different presentation from the one that had been distributed on the screen. Okay, so if I'll just go back through the objectives of the presentation, and those were to just give you some oversight on Alex Coarse mining concessions, background to its prospecting mining license and contractors, pooling and sharing joint venture with the Richtersveld community, an operational overview of land and marine mining, and then a overview of the resource status, the financial figures for the year, health and safety performance, and some of the measures that have been taken to reduce mining on land due to the declining sea days, current methods to improve production, both land and marine, and the need for new mining opportunities. We'll cover Alex Coarse's strengths, the challenges, and some views on the state-owned mining company. Our first slide shows the location of Alex Coarse, which is on the border with Namibia. Right, the red section are our mining concession, and that is 140 kilometers of land down just south of Port Nolloth, and that's how far the concessions stretch. So you can see that the red area are the mining Alex Coarse diamond concession. I've listed our prospecting and mining licenses. We have C concessions, 1C, A, B, and 2A, 3A, 4A, and 4B. And then we also have the surf zone along farm number 1. Currently, Alex Coarse marine mining operations are conducted by contractors or subcontractors. Alex Coarse entered into an agreement with 27 independent marine mining contractors and 17 subcontractors. The 27 contractors and 17 contractors provided diver-based marine mining operations with small diamond vessels. Approximately 489 persons are employed by the contractors and subcontractors on a regular basis. And the large majority of these contractors are actually from the surrounding area. The revenue split for the individual contractors is as follows. In the north unit, we have 52% for Alex Coarse, 48% for the contractors. In the south, 30 C units will take up 30% of the split and 70 to the contractors. And then in the far south, 25 to Alex Coarse and 75 to the contractors. And the reason being that the split varies according to the kind of stones and carats that are mined in the different areas, and the north being the most advantageous place to actually do the mining because of the quality of the stone. I'd like to give a bit of background on what we talk about, the pooling and sharing joint venture. Alex Coarse and the Richtersveld Mining Company are to enter into a pooling and sharing joint venture, which we refer to as the PSJV, which will in future carry out the mining at Alexander Bay. The PSJV was part of an order of court that was effected at late 2007, where it was agreed that Alex Cole would form a joint venture with the community. Alex Cole would continue to hold its marine concessions, and the land concessions would be ceded to the Richtersveld community. The rights would be pooled and mined jointly under a PSJV, in which Alex Cole would be a 51% shareholder. A unanimous resolution was taken by the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture Board in 2007, and to this board, certain powers were delegated. And in order to actually establish and effectuate the PSJV, there were certain suspensive conditions that needed to be met, and these included the conversion of the mining rights, both the land and marine mining rights, and the finalization of a mining plan to the PSJV. It was also part of the deed of settlement that was made of order of court. It also included the establishment of the Alexander Bay Township, and the upgrading of the town to municipal standards. I would like to summarize some information on the on Alex Cole's mining operations. The bulk of the carat production is actually sourced from marine mining, which provides over 70% of the total production. Alex Cole processes its own diamonds. The gravel is delivered to an Alex Cole operated plant, and the processing is then done at the plant for the final recovery of the diamonds. The sales of the diamonds are sold on tender at the Johannesburg Diamond Exchange, the Bourse, and Alex Cole has been offering, as per the legislation, 10% of its production to the state diamond trader. This slide shows some history of Alex Cole's production, and as you can see, the production has dropped significantly over the last few years. To just speak briefly on land operations. Land operations, if I may start by saying, land operations have actually been downsized almost to an extent of almost care and maintenance because of the joint venture with the Richtersveld community. It was agreed that the time Alex Cole would restructure the business and put and no longer do any mining on the land, apart from a little bit of tailings and sweeping and cleaning up some of the old mined out blocks. And just there's only one area where there's still some virgin blocks being mined, and that is an area called Witwekop, where we have the Alex Cole Development Foundation and a women's group mining. But if we look at just the way the land operations function at Alex Cole, the overburden is stripped from the land, and the gravel is excavated. The material is trucked to infield screening units, and then the screen product is transported to the dense media separation plant. At the treatment plant, the plant removes the light material and produces a dense concentration, which then will include the high density that contains diamonds. The screen gravel is bagged and transported to the recently refurbished old HMS plant for treatment by Alex Cole, and off-hand sorting takes place there, as you can see in the slide up there. And the sorting actually is carried out in the presence of, there are contractor representatives that are present during the sorting. The marine operations, which contributes more than 70% of our production, is the gravel is pumped from the seafloor through a 60 to 100 meter long inch hose operated by a diver on the seafloor. And the bulk of the carats come from the marine. As I said, up to 70% of the marine, of the diamonds are from the marine. This slide shows us some of the mining production from the marine, and it gives us some historical data. Again, here we can see that there's been quite a drastic drop in production, but it started to pick up over the last year or two. This is a resource status slide, but again, you know, you can see in the last column, the classifications are not necessarily SAMREC compliant. So I think that's just to give you an indication of what sort of resources AliceCorps is estimated to have. I would then like to talk a bit about the financial figures for the last year, which our year ended in March 2010. These are figures that have been audited by AliceCorps auditors, PwC, and they were signed off on the 30th of July 2010. AliceCorps had an unqualified opinion, which was issued by its auditors for the year end. The annual financial statements were submitted to National Treasury, the Department of Public Enterprise, before July 2010, as required by the PMFA. If we look at AliceCorps' financial performance, the diamond sales of the year in rands equaled 163.9 million, as opposed to the 127.5 million of 2009, last year, an increase of 28.5% in diamond sales. The net profit after tax amounted to 36.1 million, compared to a loss of 65.7 million in 2009. The main reason for the increase is an actuarial gain on the post-retirement medical aid because of the reversal of the liability. But the increases of the diamond prices and production during 2010 also contributed immensely to the material increase of the tax after profits. 33.363 carats were produced against a budgeted 25.750 carats for the year. AliceCorps' own cash reserves decreased during the year with an outflow of 1.1 million for the year compared to a budgeted outflow of cash for the year of 8.3 million. So there's a variance of 87% of cash outflow. And this was because of the fact that there was more cash generated through the diamond sales and also better management of costs. In terms of material movements in the balance sheet, the cash increased by 51% from 277 million to 490 million for the financial year. The government funds to the value of 129 million were received during the year for the establishment of the PSJV and related issues related to the PSJV and the township establishment. The post-retirement medical aid liability decreased from 135 million to 90 million. The actuarial gain of 45 million was because of the changes within the Bonitas medical aid scheme. When AliceCorps dropped the liability for the pensioners to a lower subsidy level. The rehabilitation liability increased with 17.0 million. As opposed to 4.7 of 2009, because of a CPI-linked adjustment to the accrued amount. I would also like to highlight some of the operational constraints, and obviously seeing the variation in the diamond prices, we did see a stabilizing of the diamond prices after the world economic crisis, but due to the strength of the rand, obviously there are issues around stability going forward. The dollar exchange rate I just mentioned, environmental conditions, and the environmental conditions meaning the declining sea days, which are a cause of global warming, and a depleting resource. And obviously, one of the main constraints is the rehabilitation liability, which is quite sizable for AliceCorps. And we're talking about historical liabilities that the company is having, not just making provision for, but is actually rehabilitating along with the mining it's currently effectuating. Other constraints include the post-retirement medical aid liability. And that we have we have seen it, we have limited that liability over the last year, but it is still something that would put AlexCorp at risk in the future if we do not have a means of either not outsourcing it or bringing it down more extensively. I mentioned the environmental conditions and the sea days or diving days, and if you can see by the sea on the slide, there's been a decline in diving days, and I will let the mine manager perhaps just say a few words regarding what diving days, the definition of diving days are.
The definition of a sea day or a diving day, as we calculate and as we record it, is we take, we've got about 19 vessels that we are, small boat vessels that we are doing production along the coastline. And if any particular day, 50% of them, half of them, goes out to sea to produce, that is recorded as a sea day. Other productions still continue, but we record sea days in terms of the vessels going out to sea and producing gravel from the seabed. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. So, obviously, if we are looking at the life of AlexCorp, which we're looking at the life of mine of about 10 years, it's critical for AlexCorp to have new mining of assets in the next couple of years to ensure its sustainability. With the life of mine and the liabilities that it has to incur and the contribution it gives to the economies of the region and surrounding, it's really critical for AlexCorp to bring on new diamond mining opportunities in the next 2 to 3 years. And these opportunities ideally would be in South Africa or even in the neighboring countries. I'd like to touch on some of AlexCorp's strengths, and again, maybe after I'll go through these, and perhaps Vian might want to just add something here. But I think AlexCorp, being the only state-owned mine and having a very long history in mining, has the technical know-how. It has sound alluvial mining expertise, extraction and processing expertise. As you see, we are doing our extraction and doing the processing. AlexCorp is actually doing the processing itself. AlexCorp also has a good knowledge of the marketing of diamonds. We are involved to a large extent in that process. We have a good database, and we've established a vessel tracking system. And I think very important for what we're currently mining is the good quality of the stones that AlexCorp has, and that's 99% gem quality stones. I don't know if Vian would like to add anything else.
Well, if there's any questions, I can answer on questions. But basically, AlexCorp has been in existence from 1927, and the last 10-20 years have been actively involved in marine mining as well, shallow water marine mining, and to a little small extent into deep marine mining as well. So it's built up a database and it's built up some expertise in conducting and managing that particular processes, and also understanding of the geology along the west coast of South Africa and Southern Africa. And that expertise is still with the company, and also in the contractor base that we do have operating at AlexCorp. And in terms of the quality of stones, we are producing good quality stones, and which is well sought after worldwide. So if there's any other questions on that, I can expand on that if you want to. Thank you.
I would like to touch on some of the challenges, because although, you know, we've said some very positive things about AlexCorp, obviously there is a concern. The growing concern remains an issue for us, and I think if we do not have additional reserves, the growing concern is going to be a problem in the next year or so. We also have huge rehabilitation liabilities, and we are having to make provision and rehabilitate. We also have post-retirement medical aid liabilities, and we have funding constraints. And I'd just like to indicate here that Alex Corps actually is not being subsidized. It is funding itself currently in terms of the operation. Lastly, I think the main objective for today's session was for us to speak about the state-owned mining company. And I have invited my team here, so I think if there are any questions regarding the presentation and any other information that you would need from Alex Corps, the members of the team will be glad to contribute. But I think what we would just like to share our view on the state-owned mining company, and we see many synergies being a state-owned mining company with the idea of the establishment of the current state-owned mining company and in the future. Alex Corps, being a mining and processing company, we feel is well aligned to be part of either precious metals and stone division or just the diamond division of a state-owned mining company. And although diamonds may not be considered strategic commodities, we feel that they are a very, very good platform to market high-value goods. I mean, if we look at some of the luxury brands that have developed around diamonds, it's a very, very good platform and a huge income generator for the state. So in this sense, diamonds do appeal to people who have high disposable income, and they do appeal to people's emotions. Diamonds are very, very strategic in this context to the overall beneficiation strategy of the government, and we feel that there's synergies with the state-owned mining company, and this would actually enhance the objectives of the state diamond trader, which are to make accessible more rough diamonds to the local beneficiators. And the state-owned mining assets, would enhance any additional diamond assets that were put under the umbrella or in collaboration with Alex Corps would actually increase the longevity and sustainability of Alex Corps and benefit the local communities and all those that are involved with Alex Corps. I think it's also very important to note in terms of looking at also what track record we have when it comes to health and safety. Alex Corps has done some commendable work in terms of getting its health and safety in line. And if you could see, I think the slide ahead speaks for itself. I'll just maybe let Mike, our engineer, take us through the slide, but I think it is very, very impressive in what we've managed to do. Mike, if I could just hand over to you.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a privilege to present to this honorable committee. I'll just take you through the next two slides. Looking into the second slide, there is a clear indication that there is improvement as far as safety is concerned. However, the current slide indicates that we are not where we want to be as yet. Looking at the previous year, the only positive thing, as you can see, the fatal injuries we had zero for the entire year. The reportable injuries we had one. As you see, we did not meet the target that we set for ourselves there, so we still need to improve on that one. The lost time injuries also we did not meet the target there. The minor injuries, we still have a lot of minor injuries, and we still need to improve on that. On the occupational incidents, we had zero for the year, which is a good achievement. Looking at the track record on the fatalities, we actually ran for more than 2 years without fatalities, and you see the cumulative fatality-free production shifts standing at 1190. We actually celebrated 1,043 shifts last year on the 25th of November. and we're looking forward to achieve the next milestone, which is 2,000 fatality free sheets. Okay, the current slide shows the performance for the past 5 years, excluding the previous year. As you can see, with the total injuries, we came down from 43 injuries down to 14. As I indicated earlier on, that is quite an improvement. The fatalities, we only had one fatality in 2005/6 financial year, and the last fatality we had was in 2007/8 financial year. Those were both underwater fatalities. On the occupational incidents, we had one in 2004/5. That was the noise-induced hearing loss. Another two in 2005/6. Two noise-induced hearing loss again, and then five in 2006/7. One was the noise hearing induced, and then the two was the TB. I would like to indicate that the TB cases were not actually picked up in the mining area. It was picked up in the hospital. At the time, the hospital was still under the mine, because that's the reason why it was recorded as a mine incident. And the hospital has been transferred now to the Department of Health. And then there was one case of silicosis. And again, that was not picked up in the mine. It was actually picked up in the pre-medical when the employee joined the mine, so it was the external case. But obviously that was put on our record. And then for the past 3 years, we didn't have any occupational incident. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike. Before I conclude, I thought maybe we could also just, I'm going to ask Mike just to say a few words on the contribution that AlexCorp is making to the township establishment. I did mention it being part of the conditions of the PSJV, but a lot of progress has been made, and we have tried in the process to involve the communities as much as possible. If I could just hand over to Mike, maybe who could say a few words on that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you once more. We have the township upgrade project that is up and running at this point in time. We are currently busy with phase one, which is the civil engineering services. That actually entails the water network, the sewage network, the construction of the half megaliter reservoir, and the repairs of the roads, as well as the upgrade of the stormwater control systems. As I said, that is up and running. We're sitting at about 23% progress to date. We're just about 0.4% behind the schedule, so that's actually almost on the schedule. We'll have the electrical reticulation as phase two kicking in October this year. And we'll have the... Okay, the rewiring of the houses, which is actually the low voltage, will be kicking in December. That is going hand in hand with the electrical reticulation. And we're aiming at finishing the project June next year. After that, the township will be transferred to the municipality, because it will be upgraded up to municipal standards as required. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. And I don't know if there's anything else that the team would like to add. Otherwise, I would open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No addition. Okay. Honorable members, there you've got it. Honorable Ngele, I note you. Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Matibela, Honorable Mare, Honorable Soto. in that order, please. Thank you very much, Chair. And also thank you for the wonderful presentation that way. First, let me congratulate you for keeping your minor so healthy. Really, I've never seen it and I've never heard of it. That there are no diseases, there is just nothing. One, if there is, I congratulate you on that. But my question is on a page, your pages are not numbered, but the heading is PSJV background. PSJV background in brackets. I am not too clear whether this is happening. My interests are on this right that you have and the rights that you've given to the community. You are holding 51 and the community is 49. My first question is that what is happening? Can I just have an answer there? Or is something that is going to be done in future?
Thank you. I'll answer that question. The PSJV, the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture, isn't actually up and running as yet. Just a little bit of background. When the deed of settlement became an order of court at the end of 2007, an interim joint board was set up. And the interim joint board comprised of three representatives from AlexCorp, but not AlexCorp board members, appointed by DPE, and three members of the community. And there were certain suspensive conditions that were to be met before the PSJV would be established, and that includes the conversion of the land and marine mining rights. The rights have been converted, both land and marine. The land mining rights are to be ceded to the community. The execution of the rights has taken place. The cession is in process, so it should probably happen in the next few weeks, hopefully. And then the community will actually be the holders of the land mining rights. Another suspensive condition is a mining plan that needed to be put together before any mining could actually take place. So this hasn't happened as yet. So the township establishment is in process. As Mike mentioned, the first phase has happened, and the conversion. These are some of the conditions precedent for the PSJV to be established. I hope I've...
Yeah, you have. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, you know why I'm sensitive about it? It's because lots and lots, we have had problems by saying we have given the community this much. And if you meet the committee, the community, they are complaining. They don't get anything. That is why I wanted to know, because definitely I will go to the community and find out, because it has happened several times. I hope it will not happen with you. What we have given to the community will be for the community. And this phase one, building of houses, are there schools and a clinic maybe, or the clinic is in the mine?
Okay, I'll just answer the first part of the question, and then I'll hand over to Mike, who probably will give us some more detail. But there are existing schools at AlexCorp that were built by the company many, many years ago. They're no longer run by AlexCorp, but they fall under the Department of Education. The hospital is also now under the Department of Health, but AlexCorp does contribute to a medical practitioner to his presence on the mine, but the hospital is no longer run by AlexCorp. I don't know, in terms of the township establishment process, I think maybe Mike can give us some more detail on that.
Okay, as I indicated earlier on, the scope of phase one is basically the water network, sanitation network, the road repairs, and the construction of the half megaliter reservoir. As well as the stormwater control. Just basically the scope of phase one.
Thanks. Just before we hand over to Honorable Schmidt, just for your benefit, Honorable Ngele, because you were in another study tour when we were in Namakoland, exactly the question you are posing. When we met communities, especially the CPA, they complained bitterly that the process of the establishment of the PSJV is so slow, and that meanwhile there are these delays, Alex Corps continues to mine in the areas where the concessions are supposed to go to the community. That came out more than once in a community meeting. And I think what you are raising is in line with that. Maybe let's allow you to respond to that, because we met the community after we've met you, and we didn't have an opportunity to interact thereafter, which is one issue that, you know, boggled our minds, that they feel that they are just, you know, taken for a ride by Alex Corps, that he has an agreement which was signed in 2007, but there are host processes that delay the actual implementation of that agreement, which you already said it was a court order. But then they say, meanwhile, there are these delays. You are continuing to mine for your own benefit in the areas that are earmarked for them. What's your response to that?
Okay. I just like to, in terms of the establishment of the PSJV, you know, there have been no, they have been delays, but there have been no intentional delays on Alex Corps' side, because I think in terms of our achievements, one of the, in terms of even what the objectives of the year was to establish the PSJV. So I think Alex Corps done everything it possibly could to try and fast track it. It did involve the amendment of the environmental plan and the conversion of the mining rights, and I think that is all is a process that does, you know, does take a while. We have completed that process, and you know, I certainly can assure the members that we are not mining on any of the areas that are to be mined by the PSJV, apart from the area that I mentioned, which is called Witfakop, which has very low-grade diamonds, and it's an area that's being mined by the Alex Corps Development Foundation and the Women's Group. That's the only area that's actually where any virgin mining is taking place. The other mining on land has been reduced to just tailings and sweepings, and, you know, cleaning up a few of the mined outblocks. There is no actual mining taking place on new virgin blocks on the land. And, you know, just to ensure that even though there was a delay for the, you know, the conversion and the cession of the rights, Alex Corps even tried to go a step further by trying to ensure that the community benefits in the interim by I think it's a 5% revenue split that normally the contractors would be providing would actually go to the community is currently benefiting from. And this goes beyond what the deed of settlement actually requires, but it was a gesture from Alex Corps to say in the interim, let's make sure that the communities benefit, and they do see some proceeds from the mining. I don't know if maybe Vian wants to add something.
The chairperson, follow-up question, please. Am I allowed? Thank you. I might not be correct. Please correct me. You say you are mining in Alex Corps land and the women. Am I correct? I thought you said what you are doing is you are not mining in the community area. But in your area, and the women's area. I had something in connection with women.
Correct. I said the only area where mining on virgin blocks is taking place is in an area called Witwekop, where the subcontracting is we've subcontracted to a women's group and the Alex Kora Development Foundation. So those are the only areas where actually any virgin mining blocks are being mined.
And are the women getting something from the...
The women actually have the contract.
If I may give a little bit more information on what is happening on onshore, the land mining operation. We've got four contractors mining onshore in the land areas, and we've got 27 contractors mining offshore in the marine areas. The four contractors mining onshore consist of two contractors mining close to the river, about 40 kilometers from Alexander Bay. One of the contractors is the Alex Kora Development Foundation, the other contractor is the Witwekop Women's Group. It's a group established a couple of years ago and consists of about 50 women into a group that are actually holding a contract to mine that particular area. And on the Alex Kora main area, the marine terraces as we call it, there's two contractors currently mine that particular area. That particular area is mined, as Katiba has earlier said, by sweeping old areas and moving the blocks a little bit bigger and also managing to reclaim some of the dump areas. For those two contracts, we've established an agreement between those contractors and the CPA, the Rechtersveld community, whereby the CPA will get 5% of the actual revenue generated by those contractors. So the split, therefore, is 65% to the contractor, 5% to the CPA, and 30% to Alex Kora for the actual mining onshore. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This matter concerning the Rechtersveld community has been on the radar for a long time, and I think it needs to be concluded rather sooner than later. I can understand that there was some form of a delay in terms of the conversion of the mining rights, because it's in the hands of the Department of Mineral Resources, but I'm not quite sure what the finalization of a mining plan of the PSJV would cause a delay, because that was known to yourself since at least August 2007. So if we could have some indication as to when it's expected that this whole procedure would lead to the PSJV being affected, that's my first question. And in other words, finalization of this process. Then secondly, you indicate that Alex Kora has been offering, and the operative word there is offering 10% of its production to the state diamond trader. What is the average take-up by the state diamond trader since it started its operations as an average percentage, because that would put us in a picture as to how valuable and the effectiveness of the state diamond trader is vis-a-vis yourself. The third issue I'd like to raise, if you look at production history, that chart is everything except positive. It declines dramatically from 1995-1996, and it's one downward spiral to very little compared to other years. It might lead to your resources, which you indicate in 2008 fell from 4.6 million, if I read the figures correctly, to 641,000 carats. Now, that's a dramatic drop. I'm not sure whether it has to do with the SJPV, whether you've lost some of your resources in terms of it being allocated to the Rechtersveld community, but they need some form of an explanation why within a year it will drop from 4.6 million carats, if I understand, to 641,000. So some explanation there. Then the last point I'd like to raise is basically the matter of your grant from government.
Now, it's all good and well to say you've made a profit. If you've received 100 million rand from government, if I understand correctly, for the PSJV and 29 million rand for township development. Making a profit of 36 or 30 odd million rand after having received 100 million rand grant from government, if I'm correct, is everything except a profit. In fact, it's a loss to the government. It's a loss to the state. Did I read the figures correctly? Is my interpretation correctly? Because, you know, in short abbreviated form, one can read anything into sentences. That's why, you know, it's always good to ask what the factual position is vis-a-vis what government gave Alexco for the past 3 years and what its operating profit has been. Thank you.
Thank you. I will respond to the first question regarding the PSJV, and then I'll let Leanne respond to the second, and Berno will take us through the financial question. Okay, in terms of the PSJV and the establishment, the delay certainly is not only regarding the conversion of the mining rights. You know, as I mentioned earlier, there were other suspensive conditions, including the amendment of the EMP, the submission of the conversion, and the putting together a mining plan. One of the terms, if I may, of the IJB, which is the interim joint board, was to be independent, and therefore Alexco actually was not responsible. Is in terms of putting together a mining plan, that this independent interim joint board would put together a mining plan, and this has been done, and it would have to be approved. So it hasn't been finalized, and I think we also Vian, who has been part of that process, may be able to also give us a little bit more information there. But as I, you know, Alexco cannot. The plan is not to be actually produced by Alexco, but by the interim joint board. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, Bjorn, on that before you respond to the other two questions.
The PSJV received a report, or the board of the PSJV received a report on the status of Alexco and the review of operations as well as the resources, and if I can recall correctly, June, July last year. And also, coupled with that, there was a presentation that was submitted to the board of the PSJV, which gives an indication of what the recommendations was in terms of that particular report, the operations at that particular point in time, and the resource, the review of that. That presentation was never presented to the Alexco board or anything further, although that request from, as I understand it, from the PSJV board was there to present that particular presentation. The report, as far as I know, has been circulated. That's what I know about the status of the PSJV in that particular report. Your question with regards to the actual offering of 10% to the state diamond trading, we're actually selling 10% on a regular basis. We take our product every six weeks to the Boers, and 10% is offered and sold to the state diamond trader at a far lower price than what we're actually achieving on the Boers. In terms of production, you had a quite long question about the production. Over the last years, and you can see from the history of production from as well as the marine and the land operations, during the 19th, you quite a dramatic drop in production, although it never reached the level that it reached in 1927. 1927, we produced about 600,000 carats, and I think the max was about in the 17th the day after, and again in 1995, thereabout, there was a production from the land operation of about 220,000 carats. After that, the production dropped dramatically, and it's due to because of the fact that the resource at Alexco was in a declining state and very little exploration continued after that. In the middle of 2000, you can see again there's a huge drop in production. Again, it's because of the resource status, also because of the fact that the PSJV and the land claims started kicking in, and there was a whole uncertainty about the ownership of those resources. And actually, Alex Corps stopped operation about 2 years ago and stopped mining anything from onshore. The drop in production from the marine side, again, you can see, I just want to get the right slide there, you can see from basically 2000-2002, thereafter there started a drop in production. Again, I think coupled with the slide that Katiba has shown you about the number of sea days, which is an effect of environmental conditions. There's a lot of pressure on our contractors to produce with very minimal sea days available for them to produce, and therefore you can see that particular drop in the marine production. We're trying to change that around by introducing new technology, opening up new areas, moving contractors around towards the southern portion of the mine, and also looking at the deeper areas, and we've actually just recently called for proposals and interested parties to submit proposals to actually tackle that particular areas. Does that answer that particular question?
Can I just ask? I'm not a marine biologist, but it looks very strange. I must be honest. You know, I'm just saying from what I see. For it to drop, for instance, let me just get the chart, but it drops in correspondence with your production, and it drops correspondence with your resources, but the mining, the sea days, the available sea days. Now, you know, I can't believe that in 1 year, last year, there were 10, I don't have a chart before me, but it was 10 days last year, 13 days last year, 10 days a year before, X number, approximately the same, vis-a-vis a few years before, a massive number of sea days. Is it literally due to environmental conditions that the sea is unable to be mined in terms of diving days? Or is your diving days determined in terms of the number of people available to dive on particular days?
Okay, I think you've missed that portion in the presentation. A sea day is considered, and as we've defined it, is when we've got approximately 19 vessels that goes out at any point in time. We've got a number of other land units that operate from the shoreline going into the sea. But a small boat, there's approximately 19 that are situated in Alexander Bay, the harbour itself. And if 50% of that number goes out to sea, that is considered to be a sea day. And you can speak to the contractors behind me, and they will tell you there has been a deterioration in environmental conditions. On top of that, where they are actually mining now is very close to the mouth of the Orange River, and that introduces another dimension into the business. In it pumps a lot of muddy water into the sea, and visibility goes out of the window, and you can't see, and the divers can't operate. So there has been a decline. There's also this component of a movement of the contractors from maybe spread along the coastline towards more concentrated towards the northern part of the concessions, which has got more problems than the southern part of the concession. But overall, we see a decline in sea days. The other operations going towards the south produces more regularly, and some of those production units operate 180 days a year, that type of thing. But as we define a sea day, that has been in decline.
Thank you. We've allowed the two members to basically fine comb your report deliberately so. But the following members would want you to note their questions so that you respond wholesomely. I'm going to allow Honorable Matibela, Honorable Mare, Honorable Sondo, Honorable Hululu, and Honorable Vigani. They will give you all their questions. Please note them down and respond after they are taken. Honorable Matibela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is on the... we were told here about the township which is also phase one. But nothing has been said about rural areas. Are there no communities in the rural areas? The second question is about the 27 contractors and 17 subcontractors, and with approximately 489 persons who are being employed. These are only the employees of the contractors, contract workers. How many people are employed by Alexco? That's what I would like to know. And also, seeing that here we only hear about the townships, are there no other persons employed from the rural communities? The last one is about, no, it's not the last one, about the plowing back to the communities. Are the contractors also doing that, plowing back to the communities? Because here it's only that Alexco has done this township and some of the things there. The last one is about health and safety. I heard that there was one silicone and one TB, which was not contracted from the mine. But at the same time, we forget that silicosis is being also affecting people from the dust that goes into the community. So I don't know whether we are trying to run away from saying that it is the cause of the mine that has infected these people, as well as TB. Even if that person started going there and was examined and found that that person is getting or has got TB, we cannot really shy away from it to say it is not the mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Marae.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I want to start off by saying, according to the sort of information, Alexco operates now for 83 years. Is that correct? Since 1927. So, by starting on that, I want clarity on the management structure of this company to get clear. I want clearance in my mind first. If the core function of Alexco is to be in Alexander Bay, if that's correct, are there any operations in any other area outside the Alexander Bay area? I want to know yes or no on that one. I want to know the CEO, where is her office? Is she situated in Alexco in Alexander Bay? If yes, fine. If not, why not? Because you must be on hand when you are your CEO. Next, I want to know, I've heard the following: acting general mine manager, acting civil engineer, acting CFO. For how long are that all three of them acting, and what is the reason why are they acting? Why is the CFO position permanent, or why are the other three gentlemen position acting? Right. Next, I want to know, Alexco stopped their production on the land 2 years ago. So the main function seems to me on the northern side is on one C, B, and A areas. According to me, it seems the most rich area where they can actually mine for diamonds. And but still, it seems that the highest production is in that area while the land operations have stopped. And there's a serious decline since 1994. So with the downward spiral, as the other member also already indicated.
And I got this feeling when we actually go to the slide that say new mining opportunities. Are you saying that the lifespan of the existing concessions is actually down and out? Or can't you actually operate productively and profitable anymore in your existing areas? So why we must actually nail your concessions then to Alex Core, if that's the case? And then I also want the next question is about the contractors, mine health and safety. I want the exact figure for fatalities for the last 3 years, and does that include your contractors and your subcontractors, please? The next question is about the township upgrading. Alex Core, as far as I know, would appoint then the people to do the upgrading of the township area, civil ward and everything going with that. Who is in the companies of the people that's been appointed to check if that work that has been done in the township is to the standard that it should be? Because you can't actually employ and contract, but you're not in the position to go and check, because you're actually in mining, you're not in in township planning and upgrading. So who's going to check that work that's been done is to the standard that is sufficient to hand over to be a fully graded town at the end of the day? And it seems they must be finally done by June 2011. That's next year. It's less than 12 months to be going there. And then they want clarity on the following, because this sounds strange to me. I really want clarity for the benefit of the employees about the medical scheme. It seems that you're saying here in your documentation that you actually, the subsidy, it's dropped their pensioners to a lower subsidy level. Explain that to me, because I understand that there may be, prior to this, they actually were belonging to a different medical fund, and maybe that one has gone bang, and then they moved to another medical aid fund. Explain me the whole thing around about the medical aid fund and the drop of the subsidy. And a last crucial question. Being functional as a state-owned mine company, give me your figures again for your permanent employees 5 years ago and what is it today? Because it seems you shift totally to contractors and you not employ people anymore. And why not you taking responsibility of employing people themselves? If that's the case, then we can give all the concessions to contractors. There's no need for a state-owned mining company running the show then. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Sondo.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think that the intention of the public hearings is to understand whether a state-owned mining company is something that we should live with as government. Something that drives me into asking a question: are you a success story as Alexco? Are we seeing the contrary to the intended objective? The reason why I'm asking this question is based on two contradicting scenarios that you get when you go to Alexander Bay and the adjacent communities. Contracting experiences, when you listen to yourselves as Alexco and you listen to communities. A lot of issues that you are telling us about here, you've told us in your earlier presentation when we went to your offices. But what we found out in the field and in the communities is contrary to what we should be expecting to see on a state-owned company output like yourselves. Let me take for an example. I want to take the question that Umangele asked about schools in the area, which translate into the infrastructural input that you are making in that area. As a state-owned mining entity, there are no schools there. What is that place? Is that Port? No. Clainsea? Yeah, Clainsea. In Clainsea, children are taking school lessons from a church building. Now, it's something that is that should not be heard of from a company that has existed for so many years. ADF, Alexco Development Foundation. There's a disjuncture between what you are telling us and what the community out there knows, because people there do not know about the Alexco Stachting, Soselenumdet. Now, this ADF was established in 1992. What is the output that this ADF has made to that community and the adjacent communities out there? PSJV was effected in 2007. How many years up to now? It's 2010 now. 3 years, eh? It's 3 years. Nothing has happened. I think other members have taken some of these questions relating to lower subsidy levels for pensioners and all that. But one question that I want to ask, given the experience you are showing us on your the slide before your challenges. You've got your challenges there and you've got your strengths. Given the strength that you have, and given the years that you have existed as a state-owned entity, what synergies did you explore between yourself as a state-owned entity and other diamond traders that were either state-established or are operating on their own? Because we want to get a success story here. And also the other question that I would want, the other area that I would want to know around, with the expertise that you have, what has been your relationship with other research and science bodies that exist in the country? And in this instance, I'm relating to bodies like Council for Geoscience, who is also producing some equipment that are related to mining. The other area is that our people are complaining that the areas that you are giving concession, you are giving them concessions on, are the areas that you've finished mining on. Barren areas. Those barren areas you give them to women, you give them to contractors and say, go and mine there, yet you know that you have left nothing there. Hence the saying that government is allowing God, our God-given wealth, to be taken from this sea of Alexander Bay, flown over our heads, into wherever, into Kimberley. And then here we are being left subjected to abject poverty. That is what communities are saying there. What's your response on that, given our intention as this committee to establish a state-owned mining company, whose intention is to take our people out of abject poverty? Lastly, Alexco is meant to be a self-sustaining state entity. Now one needs to know whether you are self-sustaining or you still get some grants from DBE or from government. If you are still getting grants, to what level of percentage are you getting those grants and why? If you are self-sustaining, you are a self-sustaining entity, how do you distribute your profits to benefit the communities in the area where you are mining? Lastly, these contractors are complaining that they were never trained since they started doing their work. They were never trained to mine. Why, if that is so, why are we just throwing people into a mining field without the proper training? Because if we were training our people correctly and adequately, with, let me not say 80 something years, with the 20 years that you have been existing, mining there, at least we would be having now in the area, in that coastal belt, we would be having miners who are local in Alexander Bay. On your slide, Mike, of health and safety, there are these noise-induced hearing losses that you were talking about. It sounds funny to me that in 1986-87, five people were deaf or they were affected. In 1988, they are cured. What miracle did you use to cure those people? I would want to get to know that, because really it means that you've got some umtagati there. You can make the deaf hear again. Yeah, I think that's a lot, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hululu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got only three questions, actually, plus a comment. I think my colleagues here have covered me, and some of the questions I got, the responses when we went to Alexco recently. Was it last week? I think 2 weeks ago, yeah. So I don't have much questions. I've got only one comment to say that, you know, on that state-owned mining company, on bullet number 4, they say that diamonds appeal to people with a high disposable income, which I think I just want to make a comment to say that even with low disposable income, those diamonds, actually, they do appeal. But the only thing is that they cannot afford, because they're very expensive, of course. That is my comment on that one. And then maybe to ask a second question with regard to the state-owned mining company establishment, which I think the purpose of this meeting was to hear this electrical about it, in that what is their take? The government wants to establish this mining, state-owned mining company. What do you think? Is it feasible that government should do that? What is your take on that one? That would be the first question. Then the second one actually will be on the diamonds in the Northern Cape. Wherever we went, honourable members, you remember they were telling us that those deposits actually they are almost they are depleting. Diamonds in the Northern Cape. So most of these mining companies actually want to venture into aquaculture. In fact, their plans now are looking at going into what you call it marine culture and other what you call it aquaculture. So now I don't know whether Alexco maybe has got something to that effect, that maybe they've got a long-term, what you call, plan, that once maybe those diamonds actually are exhausted under the soil around that area, what are their plans for the future? Thank you very much. Those are my two questions.
Thank you, Honorable Bigani.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for being late, but I think the questions that I would be asking I must probably already discussed earlier. If so, you'll just correct me. But I think I'd also be interested in getting a briefing or a detailed organizational structure of Alexco. I think there was an earlier question from Honorable Marie about the management structure. I'd also be interested in that, the actual organogram of Alexco, the present organogram. Then on, okay, your slides are not paged or numbered, but I'll just mention that I'm interested in, I see there's a statement under your state-owned mining company slide, where there's a comment that diamonds are very strategic within the overall beneficiation strategy of government. I'd like to know how did you then come upon that statement, because I don't remember us even having seen or known a beneficiation strategy, and what was the intention or the details thereof to actually decide that this would be strategic. I think the issue there is that we're interested in knowing this beneficiation strategy of government that you are aligning yourselves to. Then just generally, Chairperson, I'd like to know, I'm not hearing much about your labourers. There's nothing much indicating on what is the state of the labourers. I'd just like to know, your workers, how does Alexco so far accommodate present government efforts towards improved mining labour conditions? Your labourers, there's absolutely nothing being said about that. Then, my last question is, can you give us an indication of your sharehold distribution in terms of percentages? Who owns what, and what are the exact percentages thereof? I'm also particularly interested in the details of the rights of the community, the 49%, in your mention of the PSJVs, that you've got 51% for Alexco, and the community has 49%. Can you break down those 49% that the community part of it has? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The last speaker would be Honorable Mshali. It was quite a number of questions. The tea has just arrived and it's going to get cold. We will allow only 5 minutes for members and members. Let us start our meeting. we're running a little late and our day is too short. We've got quite a number of organizations that are going to be addressing us today. Firstly, I would like to welcome all honorable members back from a long period of absence in Parliament. And indeed, we had a very successful World Cup that was hosted by the country, and we've been congratulated by everybody throughout the world. Immediately after that, we then had to undertake oversight tours, where we went as this committee to Namakwaland. We were hoping that we would cover the entirety of Northern Cape, but very little did we know how vast the province is geographically, and as a result, we were limited only to Namakwaland, which is quite a big area in itself, and we've covered quite a big ground. But before we open our meeting officially, I would like us to just do a round of introduction of who is here, so that as and when people get an opportunity to speak, they then say we can be able to have a direct reference to the person who will be talking. My name is Fred Gona. Next to me is Ms. Noluthando, who is the committee secretary. I will say something about this situation when we open the meeting. And I'll start from the honorable member here. Introduce yourself, please.
My name is Rose Sondo. I'm a member of the Portfolio Committee. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Frida Novula Matibela, member of this committee.
Jali. Equipment member of this committee.
Nomuise Longele, member of this committee.
Good morning, Eric Marais, member of this portfolio committee.
Let's continue this side. Over to you, sir.
My name is Mkhethwa Mkhize. I'm an acting unit manager responsible for secretariat support to this committee.
My name is Faith Kwaza. I'm from the Parliamentary Communication Services.
The media also must, pronounce its presence.
Okay, thank you, Chair. My name is Thabo Mukoni from SABC News.
Kaifas Khosana from Sunday Times.
At the back there.
My name's Kirsten Selly from PMG, Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Is it not working?
Okay. Sorry. Mokate, I'm with the ANC Research Unit on Economic Affairs.
With my immediate left here, Madam.
morning. I'm Ketiwe McLean Maseko, CEO of Alex Corp.
Good morning. My name is Bian Lasson. I'm an acting mine manager at Alex Corp.
Good morning. My name is Martin Banza. I'm the manager at Alex Corp.
Good morning. My name is Bernard Lartigan. I'm acting CFO at Alex Corp.
Thank you. Over to you, sir.
Good morning. My name is Gavin Creighton, and I'm here from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning. I'm Daniel van den Nesse, from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning. My name is George Nicolai. I'm from the Equitable Access Campaign.
Morning. Wayne Cook, Equitable Access Campaign.
Good morning, Joseph Plaza from the EAC.
Good morning, I'm A.B. Marma from the National Union of Migrants.
Good
morning, I'm Yodiswan Konto, member of the SAW Women in the Western Cape.
Good morning, everybody. I'm the member of SAWIMA in the Western Cape.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tandiswa Stokwe. I'm representing South African Women in Mining Association. I'm the chairperson of the Western Cape. Thank you. I've also, just to excuse me, I've got national two chairpersons. They are on their way. They are coming from the national office in Gauteng. Mrs. Malangini and Mrs. Alice Patudi. They are the chairpersons.
Good morning. My name is Sam Madiwala from GPE.
Madam.
Morning, my name is Ayana Bolson, a committee assistant.
Thank you. The fact that you've got a camera there, we will also give you an opportunity to You all welcome, including media, who you thought that you are nobody but just the media. You are most welcome, and you are part of the democratic trajectory in the country. And definitely, you are part of us. Honorable members, I'm not sure if Alex Koh is now ready. Are your copies copies in circulation? All right. I think that let's allow the two ladies to come in and introduce themselves. We would go straight into the program because we as I indicated, we have very little time at our disposal, and after the three presenters have presented, who will deal with other matters in-house that we were supposed to be dealing with, you know, just before we started. But let's welcome the two ladies who have just joined us. And whilst you're settling yourselves, madam, please press the button in front of you and introduce yourself so that you're part of us. There's a button just on this frame, yeah. Can somebody please assist there?
Good morning. My name is Noluthando Langeni. I'm the Chief Executive Officer of South African Women in Mining Investment Holdings. Our office is based in the Chamber of Mines in Johannesburg.
Good morning. My name is Alice Patudi, National Chairperson of South African Women in Mining Association. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You are most welcome. Your delegation here has indicated that you are on your way. Honourable members, as I've indicated that we are going to be listening to Alex Cook. We are continuing with the process that we have started before we went to recess in terms of sourcing the views of the public on the possibilities of the establishment of the state-owned mining company. In the previous occasions, we've listened to various people where they gave us their views, and this time around, we'll be listening to Alex Cohen and the other organizations that have introduced themselves. And Alex Cohen, most importantly, is a state-owned entity which is involved in mining. And as a result, it will be important and interesting for us to hear their views and to learn and understand their operations so that we can then take their views when we consider the impact of the presentations that have been made. But I must just say that whilst I had indicated that we have been away doing the oversight, I would want to express my sincere gratitude and thanks to honorable members who undertook the recent oversight talk to Namakwaland and to Johannesburg. Namakwaland in the main was the most difficult one because of the vastness of the area, and it had taken a toll out of members. We would wake up in the early hours and go to bed very late. That has included driving long distances in between, you know, the areas that we were visiting. And I must say thank you very much. You demonstrated your commitment in wanting to understand the operations in the mind of mining in the country and their impact in the communities where mining is taking place. And I must say that whilst we are not discussing that report, that's a very quick and very clear remark that this talk has painted more picture clearer to us that the process that we have embarked upon of looking at a direct intervention by the state in the mining is basically more necessary now than ever before. Because our experience of this oversight is that we have seen the worldwide known inequality in South Africa in existence, where you had mining, where the riches of the country are being dug, and on the other hand, you have communities who reside in close proximity to those mines, trapped in poverty. And in this instance, in abject poverty. We visited no less than four communities. We interacted with them directly, and what we have seen, what we have experienced, what we have heard, is clear to us that indeed the mineral wealth in this country is not equitably shared. It doesn't benefit the majority of the residents of this country. And we must remember this is a God-given endowment to the nation, so that the nation is able to survive over these mineral riches. But what we have seen so far in Namakwaland, which does not cover the entirety of the Northern Cape, is a clear indication to us that indeed we need to be more clear in the direction that we are charting. If that is what we are going to see countrywide, as we are going to be undertaking other study tours to go and test the impact of mining to communities across the country. If the picture we have seen in Namakwaland in Northern Cape is what we are going to be confronted with in the country, therefore it means we must move with higher speed in terms of ensuring that there is a decisive intervention by the state on behalf of the poor and marginalized. So we need to make that point very clear. Yes, we are going to discuss the report as it is being prepared by ourselves, but I think we needed to make that remark to say that our resolve is more strengthened by what we have seen obtaining in Namaqualand. And therefore, I think we will also, with that understanding, engage Alexco in terms of what is it that they're going to present to us. So with those few remarks, as you have heard us, we are in the process of sourcing the views in terms of the need for the country to intervene in the redistribution of mineral wealth, and that we're looking at the establishment of a state-owned mining company. Let's hear your views on the matter. Let's understand who are you as Alexco in terms of your operations, and what contribution have you made since your existence in alleviating the plight of the people, particularly that we have seen in Namaqualand, where you are operating from. But then tell us what is it that you were able to do. Thank you. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson and Honourable Members, ladies and gentlemen. This is a great honour for me to present to yourselves, and I have had the opportunity of meeting some of the members during their site visit, which was a very, 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 very useful one, I think, in terms of information and input from the members. And just to, before I actually start my presentation, I would like to introduce my team. They have been introduced individually, but I have Vian, the acting mine manager, Mike, the mine engineer and acting mine manager, and Berno, our acting CFO. They were also part of the team during the visit from the portfolio committee. And I think I'm going to go into a little bit of background on Alexco and some of the challenges and some of the successes we've had. But I think it goes without saying that it's been very obvious from the visit that the committee made out there just what a huge impact mining has on the surrounding communities. And I will also invite my team, who have presentations on detailed areas, if necessary, to come in and share some more information with us. I'd just like to cover the following: Alexco's mining concessions, the PSJV, which is the pooling and sharing joint venture, and a brief operational overview, a financial overview of Alexco, the carats and revenues received for the year, and the decline in production due to the declining sea days. I'd also like to touch on the township methods that Alexco is looking at in order to improve marine operations and township establishment process, health and safety, and the update on the execution of the mining rights. I'd also like to look at the financial resource status, financial figures for the year, health and safety performance, reduced mining on land, and decline in sea days. Sorry, I apologize. I think that the presentation you are following is not exactly the one that's up on the screen. If you'll excuse me, we'll just try and sort that out.
Okay, take your time in sorting yourselves out. Whilst we, so that we don't put you under duress, let's deal with one or two other matters. Honourable members, we have got two apologies. From who and who?
Mr. Magagula and Mr. Lucas.
Honourable Magagula and Honourable Lucas. But also we have a correspondence here. You will indicate to me when you're ready. Are you ready now? Oh, okay. That was quick. Okay, let's get back.
My apologies. I had a different presentation from the one that had been distributed on the screen. Okay, so if I just go back through the objectives of the presentation, and those were to just give you some oversight on Alex Coarse mining concessions, background to its prospecting mining license and contractors, pooling and sharing joint venture with the Richter Salt community, an operational overview of land and marine mining, and then a overview of the resource status, the financial figures for the year, health and safety performance, and some of the measures that have been taken to reduce mining on land and due to the declining sea days, current methods to improve production, both land and marine, and the need for new mining opportunities. We'll cover Alex Coarse strengths, the challenges, and some views on the state-owned mining company. Our first slide shows the location of Alex Coarse, which is on the border with Namibia, right? The red section are our mining concessions, and that is 140 kilometers of land down just south of Port Nolloth, and that's how farther concessions stretch. So you can see that that red the red area are the mining Alex Coarse diamond concession. I've listed our prospecting and mining licenses. We have C concessions, 1C, A, B, and 2A, 3A, 4A, and 4B. And then we also have the surf zone along farm number 1. Currently, Alex Coarse marine mining operations are conducted by contractors or subcontractors. Alex Coarse entered into an agreement with 27 independent marine mining contractors and 17 subcontractors. The 27 contractors and 17 contractors provided diver-based marine mining operations with small diamond vessels. Approximately 489 persons are employed by the contractors and subcontractors on a regular basis. And the majority of the large majority of these contractors are actually from the surrounding area. The revenue split for the individual contractors is as follows. In the north unit, we have 52% for Alex Coarse, 48% for the contractors. In the south, 30 C units will take up 30% of the split and 70% to the contractors. And then in the far south, 25% to Alex Coarse and 75% to the contractors. And the reason being that the split varies according to the kind of stones and carats that are mined in the different areas, and the north being the most advantageous place to actually do the mining because of the quality of the stone. I'd like to give a bit of background on what we talk about the pooling and sharing joint venture. Alex Coarse and the Richter Salt Mining Company are to enter into a pooling and sharing joint venture, which we refer to as the PSJV, which will in future carry out the mining at Alexander Bay. The PSJV was part of an order of court that was effected at late 2007, where it was agreed that Alex Cole would form a joint venture with the community. Alex Cole would continue to hold its marine concessions, and the the land concessions would be ceded to the Richter Salt community. The rights would be pooled and mined jointly under a PSJV, in which Alex Cole would be a 51% shareholder. A unanimous resolution was taken by the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture Board in 2007, and to this board, certain powers were delegated. And in order to actually establish and effectuate the PSJV, there were certain suspensive conditions that needed to be met, and these included the conversion of the mining rights, both the land and marine mining rights, and the finalization of a mining plan to the PSJV. It was also part of the deed of settlement that was made of order of court. It also included the establishment of the Alexander Bay Township, and the upgrading of the town to municipal standards. I would like to summarize some information on the on Alex Cole's mining operations. The bulk of the carat production is actually sourced from marine mining, which provides over 70% of the total production. Alex Cole processes its own diamonds. The gravel is delivered to an Alex Cole operated plant, and the processing is then done at the plant for the final recovery of the diamonds. The sales of the diamonds are sold on tender at the Johannesburg Diamond Exchange, the Bourse, and Alex Cole has been offering, as per the legislation, 10% of its production to the state diamond trader. This slide shows some history of Alex Cole's production, and as you can see, the production has dropped significantly over the last few years. To just speak briefly on land operations. Land operations, if I may start by saying, land operations have actually been downsized almost to an extent of almost care and maintenance because of the joint venture with the Richter Salt community. It was agreed that the time Alex Cole would restructure the business and put and no longer do any mining on the land, apart from a little bit of tailings and sweeping and cleaning up some of the old mined out blocks. And just there's only one area where there's still some virgin blocks being mined, and that is an area called Witfakop, where we have the Alex Cole Development Foundation and a women's group mining. But if we look at just the way the land operations function at Alex Cole, the overburden is stripped from the land, and the gravel is excavated. The material is trucked to infield screening units, and then the screen product is transported to the dense media separation plant. At the treatment plant, the plant removes the light material and produces a dense concentration, which then will include the high density that contains diamonds. The screen gravel is bagged and transported to the recently refurbished old HMS plant for treatment by Alex Cole, and off-hand sorting takes place there, as you can see in the slide up there. And the sorting actually is carried out in the presence of, there are contractor representatives that are present during the sorting. The marine operations, which contributes more than 70% of our production, is the gravel is pumped from the seafloor through a 60 to 100 meter long inch hose operated by a diver on the seafloor. And the bulk of the carats come from the marine. As I said, up to 70% of the marine, of the diamonds are from the marine. This slide shows us some of the mining production from the marine, and it gives us some historical data. Again, here we can see that there's been quite a drastic drop in production, but it started to pick up over the last
year or two. This is a resource status slide, but again, you know, you can see in the last column, the classifications are not necessarily SAMREC compliant. So I think, and that's just to give you an indication of what sort of resources AlexCorp is estimated to have. I would then like to talk a bit about our the financial figures for the last year, which our year ended in March 2010. These are figures that have been audited by AlexCorp's auditors, PwC, and they were signed off on the 30th of July 2010. AlexCorp had an unqualified opinion, which was issued by its auditors for the year end. The annual financial statements were submitted to National Treasury, the Department of Public Enterprise, before July 2010, as required by the PMFA. If we look at AlexCorp's financial performance, the diamond sales of the year in rands equaled 163.9 million, as opposed to the 127.5 million of last 2009, last year, an increase of 28.5% in diamond sales. The net profit after tax amounted to 36.1 million, compared to a loss of 65.7 million in 2009. The main reason for the increase is an actuarial gain on the post-retirement medical aid because of its reversal, because of the reversal of the liability. But the increases of the diamond prices and production during 2010 also contributed immensely to the material increase of the tax after profit. 33.363 carats were produced against a budgeted 25.750 carats for the year. AlexCorp's own cash reserves decreased during the year with an outflow of 1.1 million for the year compared to a budgeted outflow of cash for the year of 8.3 million. So there's a variance of 87% of cash outflow. And this was because of the fact that there was more cash generated through the diamond sales and also better management of costs. In terms of material movements in the balance sheet, the cash increased by 51% from 277 million to 490 million for the financial year. The government funds to the value of 129 million were received during the year for the PS, for the establishment of the PSJV and related issues related to the PSJV and the township establishment. The post-retirement medical aid liability decreased from 135 million to 90 million. The actuarial gain of 45 million was because of the changes within the Bonitas medical aid scheme. When AlexCorp dropped the liability for the pensioners to a lower subsidy level. The rehabilitation liability increased with 17.0 million. As opposed to 4.7 of 2009, because of the CPI-linked adjustment to the accrued amount. I would also like to highlight some of the operational constraints, and obviously being the variation in the diamond prices, we did see a stabilizing of the diamond prices after the world economic crisis, but due to the strength of the rand, obviously there are issues around stability going forward. The dollar exchange rate I just mentioned, environmental conditions, and the environmental conditions meaning the declining sea days, which are a cause of global warming, and a depleting resource. And obviously, one of the main constraints is the rehabilitation liability, which is quite sizable for AlexCorp. And we're talking about historical liabilities that the company is not just making provision for, but is actually rehabilitating along with the mining it's currently effectuating. Other constraints include the post-retirement medical aid liability. And that we have
we have seen it, we have limited that liability over the last year, but it is still something that would put Alex Corps at risk in the future if we do not have a means of either not outsourcing it or bringing it down more extensively. I mentioned the environmental conditions and the sea days or diving days, and if you can see by the tree on the slide, there's been a decline in diving days, and I will let the mine manager perhaps just say a few words regarding what diving days, the definition of diving days are.
The definition of a sea day or a diving day, as we calculate and as we record it, is we take, we've got about 19 vessels that we are, small boat vessels that we are doing production along the coastline, and if any particular day, 50% of them, half of them, goes out to sea to produce, that is recorded as a sea day. Other productions still continue, but we record sea days in terms of the vessels going out to sea and producing gravel from the seabed. Thanks.
Thank you, Vin. So, obviously, if we are looking at the life of Alex Corps, which we're looking at the life of mine of about 10 years, it's critical for Alex Corps to have new mining of assets in the next couple of years to ensure its sustainability. With the life of mine and the liabilities that it has to incur and the contribution it gives to the economies of the region and surrounding, it's really critical for Alex Corps to bring on new diamond mining opportunities in the next 2 to 3 years. And these opportunities ideally would be in South Africa or even in the neighboring countries. I'd like to touch on some of Alex Corps' strengths, and again, maybe after I'll go through these, and perhaps Vian might want to just add something here. But I think Alex Corps being the only state-owned mine and being having a very long history in mining, has the technical know-how. It has sound alluvial mining expertise, extraction and processing expertise. As you see, we are doing our extraction and doing the processing. Alex Corps is actually doing the processing itself. Alex Corps also has a good knowledge of the marketing of diamonds. We are involved to a large extent in that process. We have a good database, and we've established a vessel tracking system. And I think very important for what we're currently mining is the good quality of the stones that Alex Corps has, and that's 99% gem quality stones. I don't know if Vian would like to add anything else.
Well, if there's any questions, I can answer on questions. But basically, Alex Corps has been in existence from 1927, and the last 10, 20 years have been actively involved in marine mining as well, shallow water marine mining, and to a little small extent into deep marine mining as well. So it's built up a database and it's built up some expertise in conducting and managing that particular processes, and also understanding of the geology along the west coast of South Africa and Southern Africa. And that expertise is still with the company, and also in the contractor base that we do have operating at Alex Corps. And in terms of the quality of stones, we are producing good quality stones, and which is well sought after worldwide. So if there's any other questions on that, I can expand on that if you want to. Thank you.
I would like to touch on some of the challenges, because although, you know, we've said some very positive things about Alex Corps, obviously there is a concern, the growing concern remains an issue for us, and I think if we do not have additional reserves, the growing concern is going to be a problem in the next year or so. We also have huge rehabilitation liabilities, and we are having to make provision and rehabilitate. We also have post-retirement medical aid liabilities, and we have funding constraints. And I'd just like to indicate here that Alex Corps actually is not being subsidized. It is funding itself currently in terms of the operation. Lastly, I think the main objective for today's session was for us to speak about the state-owned mining company. And I have invited my team here, so I think if there are any questions regarding the presentation and any other information that you would need from Alex Corps, the members of the team will be glad to contribute. But I think what we would just like to share our view on the state-owned mining company, and we see many synergies being a state-owned mining company with the idea of the establishment of the current state-owned mining company and in the future. Alex Corps, being a mining and processing company, we feel is well aligned to be part of either precious metals and stone division or just the diamond division of a state-owned mining company. And although diamonds may not be considered strategic commodities, we feel that they are a very, very good platform to market high-value goods. I mean, if we look at some of the luxury brands that have developed around diamonds, it's a very, very good platform and a huge income generator for the state. So in this sense, diamonds do appeal to people who have high disposable income, and they do appeal to people's emotions. Diamonds are very strategic in this context to the overall beneficiation strategy of the government, and we see that we feel that there's synergies with the state-owned mining company, and this would actually enhance the objectives of the state diamond trader, which are to make accessible more rough diamonds to the local beneficiators. And the state-owned mining asset, would enhance any additional diamond assets that were put under the umbrella or in collaboration with Alex Corps would actually increase the longevity of and sustainability of Alex Corps and benefit the local communities and all those that are involved with Alex Corps. I think it's also very important to note in terms of looking at also what track record we have when it comes to health and safety. Alex Corps has done some commendable work in terms of getting its health and safety in line. And if you could see, I think the slide ahead speaks for itself. I'll just maybe let Mike, our engineer, take us through the slide, but I think it is very, very impressive in what we've managed to do. Mike, if I could just hand over to you.
Thank you for the opportunity. It's always a privilege to present to this honorable committee. I'll just take you through the next two slides. Looking into the second slide, there is a clear indication that there is improvement as far as safety is concerned. However, the current slide indicates that we are not where we want to be as yet. Looking at the previous year, the only positive thing, as you can see, the fatal injuries we had zero for the entire year. The reportable injuries we had one. As you see, we did not meet the target that we set for ourselves there, so we still need to improve on that one. The lost time injuries also did not meet the target there. The minor injuries, we still have a lot of minor injuries, and we still need to improve on that. On the occupational incidents, we had zero for the year, which is a good achievement. Looking at the track record on the fatalities, we actually ran for more than 2 years without fatalities. Hence, you see the cumulative fatality-free production shifts standing at 1190. We actually celebrated 1,043 shifts last year on the 25th of November.
and we're looking forward to achieve the next milestone, which is 2,000 fatality free sheep. Okay, the current slide shows the performance for the past 5 years, excluding the previous year. As you can see, with the total injuries, we came down from 43 injuries down to 14. As I indicated earlier on, that is quite an improvement. The fatalities, we only had one fatality in 2005/6 financial year, and the last fatality we had was in 2007/8 financial year. Those were both underwater fatalities. On the occupational incidents, we had one in 2004/5. That was the noise-induced hearing loss. Another two in 2005/6. To noise-induced hearing loss again, and then five in 2006/7. One was the noise hearing induced, and then the two was the TB. I'd like to indicate that the TB cases were not actually picked up in the mining area. It was picked up in the hospital. At the time, the hospital was still under the mine. That was the reason why it was recorded as a mine incident. And the hospital has been transferred now to the Department of Health. And then there was one case of silicosis. And again, that was not picked up in the mine. It was actually picked up in the pre-medical when the employee joined the mine, so it was the external case. But obviously that was put on our record. And then for the past 3 years, we didn't have any occupational incident. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike. I just before I conclude, I thought maybe we could also just, I'm going to ask Mike just to say a few words on the contribution that Alex was making to the township establishment. I did mention it being part of the conditions of the PSJV, but with a lot of progress has been made, and we have tried in the process to involve the communities as much as possible. If I could just hand over to Mike, maybe who could say a few words on that. Thanks.
Okay, thank you once more. We have the township upgrade project that is up and running at this point in time. We are currently busy with phase one, which is the civil engineering services. That actually entails the water network, the sewage network, the construction of the half megaliter reservoir, and the repairs of the roads, as well as the upgrade of the stormwater control systems. As I said, that is up and running. We're sitting at about 23% progress to date. We're just about 0.4% behind the schedule, so that actually almost on the schedule. We'll have the electrical reticulation as phase two kicking in October this year. And we'll have the... Okay, the rewiring of the houses, which is actually the low voltage, will be kicking in December. That is going hand in hand with the electrical reticulation. And we're aiming at finishing the project June next year. After that, the township will be transferred to the municipality because it will be upgraded up to municipal standards as required. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mike. And I don't know if there's anything else that the team would like to add. Otherwise, I would open the floor for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. No additions. Okay. Honorable members, there you've got it. Honorable Ngele, I know you. Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Matibela, Honorable Mare, Honorable Soto.
in that order, please. Thank you very much, Chair. And also thank you for the wonderful presentation that we had. First, let me congratulate you for keeping your minor so healthy. Really, I've never seen it and I've never heard of it. That there are no diseases, there is just nothing. One, if there is, I congratulate you on that. But my question is on a page, your pages are not numbered, but the heading is PSJV background. PSJV background in brackets. I am not too clear whether this is happening. My interests are on this rights that you have and the rights that you've given to the community. You are holding 51 and the community is 49. My first question is that what is happening? Can I just have an answer there? Or is something that is going to be done in future?
Thank you. I'll answer that question. The PSJV, the Pooling and Sharing Joint Venture, isn't actually up and running as yet. Just a little bit of background. When the deed of settlement became an order of court in the end of 2007, an interim joint board was set up. And the interim joint board comprised of three representatives from AlexCo, but not AlexCo board members, appointed by DPE, and three members of the community. And there were certain suspensive conditions that were to be met before the PSJV would be established, and that includes the conversion of the land and marine mining rights. The rights have been converted, both land and marine. The land mining rights are to be ceded to the community. The execution of the rights has taken place. The session is in process, so it should probably happen in the next few weeks, hopefully. And then the community will actually be the holders of the land mining rights. Another suspensive condition is a mining plan that needed to be put together before any mining could actually take place. So this hasn't happened as yet. So the township establishment is in process. As Mike mentioned, the first phase has happened, and the conversion. These are some of the conditions precedent for the PSJV to be established. I hope I've...
Yeah, you have. Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, do you know why I'm sensitive about it? It's because lots and lots we've had problems by saying we have given the community this much. And if you meet the committee, the community, they are complaining. They don't get anything. That is why I wanted to know, because definitely I will go to the community and find out, because it has happened several times. I hope it will not happen with you. What we have given to the community will be for the community. And this phase one, building of houses, are there schools and a clinic maybe, or the clinic is in the mine?
Okay, I'll just answer the first part of the question, and then I'll hand over to Mike, who probably will give us some more detail. But there are existing schools at AlexCo that were built by the company many, many years ago. They're no longer run by AlexCo, but they fall under the Department of Education. The hospital is also now under the Department of Health. But AlexCo does contribute to a medical practitioner to his presence on the mine, but the hospital is no longer run by AlexCo. I don't know, in terms of the township establishment process, I think maybe Mike can give us some more detail on that. Thanks.
Okay, as I indicated earlier on, the scope of phase one is basically the water network, sanitation network, the road repairs, and the construction of the half megaliter reservoir.
as well as the stormwater control. That's basically the scope of phase one.
Thanks. Just before we hand over to Honorable Schmidt, just for your benefit, Honorable Ngele, because you were in another study tour when we were in Namakoland. Exactly the question you are posing, when we met communities, especially the CPA, they complained bitterly that the process of the establishment of the PSJV is so slow, and that meanwhile there are these delays, Alex Core continues to mine in the areas where the concessions are supposed to go to the community. That came out more than once in a community meeting. And I think what you are raising is in line with that. Maybe let's allow you to respond to that, because we met the community after we've met you, and we didn't have an opportunity to interact thereafter, which is one issue that, you know, popped in our minds, that they feel that they are just, you know, taken for a ride by Alex Core, that he has an agreement which was signed in 2007, but there are host processes that delay the actual implementation of that agreement, which you already said it was a court order. But then they say, meanwhile, there are these delays. You are continuing to mine for your own benefit in the areas that are earmarked for them. What's your response to that?
Okay. I'd just like to, in terms of the establishment of the PSJV, you know, there have been delays, but there have been no intentional delays on Alex Core's side, because I think in terms of our achievements, one of the, in terms of even what the objectives of the year was to establish the PSJV. So I think Alex Core's done everything it possibly could to try and fast-track it. It did involve the amendment of the environmental plan and the conversion of the mining rights, and I think that is all is a process that does, you know, does take a while. We have completed that process, and you know, I certainly can assure members that we are not mining on any of the areas that are to be mined by the PSJV, apart from the area that I mentioned, which is called Witfakop, which has very low-grade diamonds, and it's an area that's being mined by the Alex Core Development Foundation and the Women's Group. That's the only area that's actually where any virgin mining is taking place. The other mining on land has been reduced to just tailings and sweepings, and, you know, cleaning up a few of the mined out blocks. There is no actual mining taking place on new virgin blocks on the land, and, you know, just to ensure that even though there was a delay for the, you know, the conversion and the cession of the rights, Alex Core even tried to go a step further by trying to ensure that the community benefits in the interim by I think it's a 5% revenue split that normally the contractors would be providing would actually go to the community is currently benefiting from, and this goes beyond what the deed of settlement actually requires, but it was a gesture from Alex Core to say in the interim let's make sure that the communities benefit, and they do see some proceeds from the mining. I don't know if maybe Vian wants to add something.
The chairperson, follow-up question, please. Am I allowed? Thank you. I might not be correct. Please correct me. You say you are mining in Alex Core's land and the women. Am I correct? I thought you said what you are doing is you are not mining in the community area, but in your area, and the women's area. I had something in connection with women.
Correct. I said the only area where mining on virgin blocks is taking place is in an area called Witwakop, where the subcontracting is we've subcontracted to a women's group and the Alex Core Development Foundation. So those are the only areas where actually any virgin mining blocks are being mined.
And are the women getting something from the...
The women actually have the contract.
If I may give a little bit more information on what is happening on onshore, the land mining operation, we've got four contractors mining onshore in the land areas, and we've got 27 contractors mining offshore in the marine areas. The four contractors mining onshore consist of two contractors mining close to the river, about 40 kilometers from Nagzana Bay. One of the contractors is the Alice Core Development Foundation. The other contractors is the Witwakop Women's Group. It's a group established a couple of years ago and consists of about 50 women into a group that are actually holding a contract to mine that particular area. And on the Alice Core main area, the marine terraces, as we call it, there's two contractors currently mine that particular area. That particular area is mined, as Katiba has earlier said, by sweeping old areas and moving the blocks a little bit bigger, and also managing to reclaim some of the dump areas. For those two contracts, we've established an agreement between those contractors and the CPA, the Recht to Salt Community, whereby the CPA will get 5% of the actual revenue generated by those contractors. So the split, therefore, is 65% to the contractor, 5% to the CPA, and 30% to Alex Core for the actual mining onshore. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Schmidt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good. This matter concerning the Rift Salt community has been on the radar for a long time, and I think it needs to be concluded rather sooner than later. I can understand that there was some form of a delay in terms of the conversion of the mining rights, because it's in the hands of the Department of Mineral Resources, but I'm not quite sure what the finalization of a mining plan of the PSJV would cause a delay, because that was known to yourself since at least August 2007. So if we could have some indication as to when it's expected that this whole procedure would lead to the PSJV being affected, that's my first question. And in other words, finalization of this process. Then secondly, you indicate that Alex Core has been offering, and the operative word there is offering 10% of its production to the state diamond trader. What is the average take-up by the state diamond trader since it started its operations as an average percentage, because that would put us in a picture as to how valuable and the effectiveness of the state diamond trader vis-a-vis yourself. The third issue I'd like to raise, if you look at production history, that chart is everything except positive. It declines dramatically from 1995, 1996, and it's one downward spiral to very little compared to other years. It might lead to your resources, which you indicate in 2008 fell from 4.6 million, if I read the figures correctly, to 641,000 carats. Now, that's a dramatic drop. I'm not sure whether it has to do with the SJPV, whether you've lost some of your resources in terms of it being allocated to the salt community, but they need some form of an explanation why within a year it will drop from 4.6 million carats, if I understand, to 641,000. So some explanation there. Then the last point I'd like to raise is basically the matter of your grant from government.
Now, it's all good and well to say you've made a profit. If you've received 100 million rand from government, if I understand correctly, for the PSJV and 29 million rand for township development, making a profit of 36 or 30 odd million rand after having received 100 million rand grant from government, if I'm correct, is everything except a profit. In fact, it's a loss to the government. It's a loss to the state. Did I read the figures correctly? Is my interpretation correctly? Because, you know, in short, abbreviated form, one can read anything into sentences. That's why, you know, it's always good to ask what the factual position is vis-a-vis what government gave ElectCorp for the past 3 years and what its operating profit has been. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. I will respond to the first question regarding the PSJV, and then I'll let Vian respond to the second, and Berno will take us through the financial question. Okay, in terms of the PSJV and the establishment, the delay certainly is not only regarding the conversion of the mining rights. You know, as I mentioned earlier, there were other suspensive conditions, including the amendment of the EMP, the submission of the conversion, and the putting together a mining plan. One of the terms, if I may, of the IJB, which is the interim joint board, was to be independent, and therefore ElectCorp actually was not responsible in terms of putting together a mining plan. That this independent interim joint board would put together a mining plan, and this has been done, and it would have to be approved. So it hasn't been finalized. And I think we also, Vian, who has been part of that process, may be able to also, give us a little bit more information there. But as ElectCorp cannot, the plan is not to be actually produced by ElectCorp, but by the interim joint board. I don't know if there's anything you want to add, Vian, on that before you respond to the other two questions.
The PSJV received the report, or the board of the PSJV received a report on the status of ElectCorp and the review of operations as well as the resources, and if I can recall correctly, June, July last year, and also coupled with that, there was a presentation that was submitted to the board of the PSJV, which gives an indication of what the recommendations was in terms of that particular report. The operations at that particular point in time, and the results, the review of that. That presentation was never presented to the ElectCorp board or anything further, although that request from, as I understand it, from the PSJV board was there to present that particular presentation. The report, as far as I know, has been circulated. That's what I know about the status of the PSJV in that particular report. Your question with regards to the actual offering of 10% to the state diamond trading, we're actually selling 10% on a regular basis. We take our product every six weeks to the Boers, and 10% is offered and sold to the state diamond trader at a far lower price than what we're actually achieving on the Boers. In terms of production, you had quite a long question about production. Over the last years, and you can see from the history of production from as well as the marine and the land operations, during the 19th, you had quite a dramatic drop in production, although it never reached the level that it reached in 1927. 1927, we produced about 600,000 carats, and I think the max was about in the 17th thereafter, and again in 1995 thereabout, there was a production from the land operation of about 220,000 carats. After that, the production dropped dramatically, and it's due because of the fact that the resource at ElectCorp was in a declining state, and very little exploration continued after that. In the middle of 2000, you can see again there's a huge drop in production. Again, it's because of the resource status, also because of the fact that the PSJV and the land claims started kicking in, and there was a whole uncertainty about the ownership of those resources. And actually, Alex Corps stopped operation about 2 years ago and stopped mining anything from onshore. The drop in production from the marine side, again, you can see, I just want to get it the right slide there, you can see from basically 2002, thereafter there started a drop in production. Again, I think coupled with the slide that Katiba has shown you about the number of sea days, which is the effect of environmental conditions, there's a lot of pressure on our contractors to produce with very minimal sea days available for them to produce, and therefore you can see that particular drop in the marine production. We're trying to change that around by introducing new technology, opening up new areas, moving contractors around towards the southern portion of the mine, and also looking at the deeper areas, and we've actually just recently called for proposals and interested parties to submit proposals to actually tackle that particular areas. Does that answer that particular question?
Can I just ask, I'm not a marine biologist, but it looks very strange, I must be honest. You know, I'm just saying from what I see. For it to drop, for instance, let me just get the chart, but it drops in correspondence with your production, and it drops correspondence with your resources, but the mining, the sea days, the available sea days. Now, you know, I can't believe that in 1 year, last year, there were 10, I don't have a chart before me, but it was 10 days last year, 13 days last year, 10 days a year before, X number, approximately the same, vis-a-vis a few years before, a massive number of sea days. Is it literally due to environmental conditions that the sea is unable to be mined in terms of diving days? Or is your diving days determined in terms of the number of people available to dive on particular days?
Okay, I think you've missed that portion in the presentation. A sea day is considered, and as we've defined it, is when we've got approximately 19 vessels that goes out at any point in time. We've got a number of other land units that operate from the shoreline going into the sea. But a vessel, a boat, small boat, there's approximately 19 that are situated in Alexander Bay, the harbour itself. And if 50% of that number goes out to sea, that is considered to be a sea day. And you can speak to the contractors behind me, and they will tell you there has been a deterioration in environmental conditions. On top of that, they are actually mining now is very close to the mouth of the Orange River, and that introduces another dimension into the business. It pumps a lot of muddy water into the sea, and visibility goes out of the window, and you can't see, and the divers can't operate. So there has been a decline. There's also this component of a movement of the contractors from maybe spread along the coastline towards more concentrated towards the northern part of the concessions, which has got more problems than the southern part of the concession. But overall, we see a decline in sea days. The other operations going towards the south produces more regularly, and some of those production units operate 180 days a year, that type of thing. But as we define a sea day, that has been in decline.
Thank you. We've allowed the two members to basically fine comb your report deliberately so, but the following members would want you to note their questions so that you respond wholesomely. I'm going to allow Honorable Matibela, Honorable Mare, Honorable Sondo, Honorable Hululu, and Honorable Begani. They will give you all their questions. Please note them down and respond after they are taken. Honorable Matibela.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine is on the... we were told here about the township which is also phase one. But nothing has been said about rural areas. Are there no communities in the rural areas? The second question is about the 27 contractors and 17 subcontractors, and with approximately 489 persons who are being employed. These are only the employees of the contractors, contract workers. How many people are employed by Alexco? That's what I would like to know. And also, seeing that here we only hear about the townships, are there no other persons employed from the rural communities? The last one is about, no, it's not the last one, about the plowing back to the communities. Are the contractors also doing that, plowing back to the communities? Because here it's only that Alexco has done this township and some of the things there. The last one is about health and safety. I heard that there was one silicone and one TB, which was not contracted from the mine. But at the same time, we forget that silicosis is being also affecting people from the dust that goes into the community. So I don't know whether we are trying to run away from saying that it is the cause of the mine that has infected these people, as well as TB. Even if that person started going there and was examined and found that that person is getting or has got TB, we cannot really shy away from it to say it is not the mine. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Marae.
Thank you, Chairperson. First, I want to start off by saying, according to the information, Alexco operates now for 83 years. Is that correct? Since 1927. So, by starting on that, I want clarity on the management structure of this company to get clear. I want clearance in my mind. First, if the core function of Alexco is to be in Alexander Bay, if that's correct, are there any operations in any other area outside the Alexander Bay area? I want to know yes or no on that one. I want to know the CEO, where is her office? Is she situated in Alexco in Alexander Bay? If yes, fine. If not, why not? Because you must be on hand when you are your CEO. Next, I want to know, I've heard the following: acting general mine manager, acting civil engineer, acting CFO. For how long are that all three of them acting, and what is the reason why are they acting? Why is the CFO position permanent, and why are the other three gentlemen position acting? Right. Next, I want to know, Alexco stopped the production on the land 2 years ago. So the main function seems to me on the northern side is on one C, B, and A areas. According to me, it seems the most rich area where they can actually mine for diamonds. And but still, it seems that is the highest production is in that area, while the land operations have stopped, and there's a serious decline since 1994. So with the downward spiral, as the other member also already indicated. And I've got this feeling when we actually go to the slide that say new mining opportunities. Are you saying that the lifespan of the existing concessions is actually down and out? Or can't you actually operate productively and profitable anymore in your existing areas? So why we must actually new your concessions then to Alex Core, if that's the case? And then I also want the next question is about the contractors, mine health and safety. I want the exact figure for fatalities for the last 3 years. And does that include your contractors and your subcontractors, please? The next question is about the township upgrading. Alex Core, as far as I know, would appoint then the people to do the upgrading of the township area, civil water and everything going with that. Who is in the companies of the people that's been appointed to check if that work that has been done in the township is to the standard that it should be? Because you can't actually employ and contract, but you're not in a position to go and check. Because you're actually in mining, you're not in in township planning and upgrading. So who's going to check that work that's been done is to the standard that is sufficient to hand over to be a fully graded town at the end of the day? And it seems they must be finally done by June 2011. That's next year. It's less than 12 months to be going there. And then they want clarity on the following, because this sounds strange to me. I really want clarity for the benefit of the employees about the medical scheme. It seems that you're saying here in your documentation that you actually, the subsidy is... drop their pensioners to a lower subsidy level. Explain that to me, because I understand that there may be, prior to this, they actually were belonging to a different medical fund, and maybe that one has gone bang, and then they moved to another medical aid fund. Explain me the whole thing around about a medical aid fund and the drop of the subsidy. And a last crucial question. Being functional as a state-owned mine company, give me your figures again for your permanent employees 5 years ago and what is it today? Because it seems you shift totally to contractors and you not employ people anymore. And why not you taking responsibility of employ people themselves? If that's the case, then we can give all the concessions to contractors. There's no need for a state-owned mining company running the show then. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Sonto.
Chairperson, thank you very much. I think the intention of the public hearings is to understand whether a state-owned mining company is something that we should live with as government. Something that drives me into asking a question: are you a success story as Alexco? Are we seeing the contrary to the intended objective? The reason why I'm asking this question is based on two contradicting scenarios that you get when you go to Alexander Bay and the adjacent communities. Contracting experiences when you listen to yourselves as Alexco and you listen to communities. A lot of issues that you are telling us about here, you've told us in your earlier presentation when we went to your offices. But what we found out in the field and in the communities is contrary to what we should be expecting to see on a state-owned company output like yourselves. Let me take for an example. I want to take the question that Umangele asked about schools in the area, which translate into the infrastructural input that you are making in that area. As a state-owned mining entity, there are no schools there. What is that place? Is that Port? No. Clinsier? Yeah, Clinsier. In Clinsier, children are taking school lessons from a church building. Now, it's something that is a that should not be a head off from a company that has existed for so many years. ADF, Alexco Development Foundation. There's a disjuncture between what you are telling us and what the community out there knows, because people there do not know about the Alexco Stichting, Sosele Numdet. Now, this ADF was established in 1992. What is the output that this ADF has made to that community and the adjacent communities out there? PSJV was effected in 2007. How many years up to now? It's 2010 now. 3 years, huh? It's 3 years. Nothing has happened. I think other members have taken some of these questions relating to lower subsidy levels for pensioners and all that. But one question that I want to ask, given the experience you are showing us on your the slide before your challenges, got your challenges there, and you've got your strengths. Given the strength that you have, and given the years that you have existed as a state-owned entity, what synergies did you explore between yourself as a state-owned entity and other diamond traders that were either state-established or are operating on their own? Because we want to get a success story here. And also the other question that I would want, the other area that I would want to know around, with the expertise that you have, what has been your relationship with other research and science bodies that exist in the country? And in this instance, I'm relating to bodies like Council for Geoscience, who is also producing some equipment that are related to mining. The other area is that our people are complaining that the areas that you are giving concession, you are giving them concessions on, are the areas that you've finished mining on. Barren areas. Those barren areas you give them to women, you give them to contractors and say, go and mine there, yet you know that you have left nothing there. Hence the saying that government is allowing God, our God-given wealth, to be taken from this sea of Alexander Bay, flown over our heads, into wherever, into Kimberley. And then here we are, being left subjected to abject poverty. That is what communities are saying there. What's your response on that, given our intention as this committee to establish a state-owned mining company, whose intention is to take our people out of abject poverty? Lastly, Alexco is meant to be a self-sustaining state entity. Now, one needs to know whether you are self-sustaining or you still get some grants from DPE or from government. If you are still getting grants, to what level of percentage are you getting those grants and why? If you are self-sustaining, you are a self-sustaining entity, how do you distribute your profits to benefit the communities in the area where you are mining? Lastly, these contractors are complaining that they were never trained since they started doing their work. They were never trained to mine. Why, if that is so, why are we just throwing people into a mining field without the proper training? Because if we were training our people correctly and adequately, with, let me not say 80-something years, with the 20 years that you have been existing, mining there, at least we would be having now in the area, in that coastal belt, we would be having miners who are local in Alexander Bay. On your slide, Mike, of health and safety, there are these noise-induced hearing losses that you were talking about. It sounds funny to me that in 1986-87, five people were deaf or they were affected. In 1988, they are cured. What miracle did you use to cure those people? I would want to get to know that, because really it means that you've got some umtagati there. You can make the deaf hear again. Yeah, I think that's the last chapter. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Hululu.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I've got only three questions, actually, plus a comment. I think my colleagues here have covered me, and some of the questions I got, the responses when we went to Alexco recently. Was it last week? I think 2 weeks ago, yeah. So I don't have much questions. I've got only one comment to say that, you know, on that state-owned mining company, on bullet number 4, they say that diamonds appeal to people with a high disposable income, which I think I just want to make a comment to say that even with low disposable income, those diamonds, actually, they do appeal. But the only thing is that they cannot afford, because they're very expensive, of course. That is my comment on that one. And then maybe to ask a second question with regard to the state-owned mining company establishment, which I think the purpose of this meeting was to hear this electrical about it, in that what is their take? Government wants to establish this mining, state-owned mining company. What do you think? Is it feasible that government should do that? What is your take on that one? That would be the first question. Then the second one actually will be on the diamonds in the Northern Cape. Wherever we went, honourable members, you remember they were telling us that those deposits actually they're depleting diamonds in the Northern Cape. So most of these mining companies actually want to venture into agriculture. In fact, their plans now are looking at going into what you call it marine culture and other what's called an agriculture. So now I don't know whether Alexco maybe has got something to that effect, that maybe they've got a long-term what's called plan, that once maybe those diamonds actually are exhausted under the soil around that area, what are their plans for the future? Thank you very much. Those are my two questions.
Thank you, Honorable Bigani.
Thank you, Chair. My apologies for being late, but I think the questions that I would be asking are most probably already discussed earlier. If so, you'll just correct me. But I think I'd also be interested in getting a briefing or a detailed organizational structure of Alexco. I think there was an earlier question from Honorable Marais about the management structure. I'd also be interested in that, the actual organogram of Alexco, the present organogram. Then on, okay, your slides are not paged or numbered, but I'll just mention that I'm interested in, I see there's a statement under your state-owned mining company slide where there's a comment that diamonds are very strategic within the overall beneficiation strategy of government. I'd like to know, how did you then come upon that statement? Because I don't remember us even having seen or known a beneficiation strategy. And what was the intention or the details thereof to actually decide that this would be strategic? I think the issue there is that we're interested in knowing this beneficiation strategy of government that you are aligning yourselves to. Then, just generally, Chairperson, I'd like to know, I'm not hearing much about your laborers. There's nothing much indicating on what is the state of the laborers. I'd just like to know, your workers, how does the left go so far accommodate prevent government efforts towards improved mining labor conditions? Your laborers, there's absolutely nothing being said about that. Then, my last question is, can you give us an indication of your sharehold distribution in terms of percentages? Who owns what, and what are the exact percentages thereof? I'm also particularly interested in the details of the rights of the community, the 49% in your mention of the PSJVs, that you've got 51% for Alexco, and the community has 49%. Can you break down those 49% that the community part of it has? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. The last speaker would be Honorable Mshali. You've got quite a number of questions. The tea has just arrived and it's going to get cold. We will allow only 5 minutes for members and ladies and gentlemen to go and collect a cup of tea, bring it back to your ladies and gentlemen to go and collect cup of tea, bring it back to your